Good morning and welcome. It's the fourth and final hour of our get-together. We affectionately call it the 9 o'clock stretch. Oh, that feels good. Yeah, some people didn't get a full night's sleep because those Gators were just playing hard and they won it all. Congratulations. University of Florida Fighting Gators win the NCAA Men's National Championship, besting Houston 65-63. Oh, what a game. We'll get into it a little bit further, but first, we want to welcome Catherine Bronski from the USDA. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show today to talk about invasive plant pests and disease awareness month, why it matters in Florida, and more widely across the country.
Hey, when we talk about invasive plants, first thing comes to my mind, and maybe a lot of other people's, kudzu, right?
Yes, kudzu is an invasive plant. The ones that I'm talking about are more what we call hungry pests, damaging to crops, agriculture, and forest trees, and are accidentally spread by people.
Yeah, I saw where they can actually be like hitchhikers on your vehicle. How do you prevent something like that from happening?
That's right. These hungry pests are great natural hitchhikers. It's easy for people to accidentally move them to new areas on your outdoor equipment, your vehicles, like you mentioned, firewood, even your backyard fruits. So it's really important to be on the lookout for them. We need everyone's help to protect our food supply and natural resources, and everyone can help make food more affordable.
I get these things. Some people call them carpenter bees. I don't really know what they are, but they bore right into like the 2x4s that are holding up my carport. Do you know what those are and if they're invasive and what the heck do I do?
Carpenter bees, it does sound like it, that they do wood, but some of the pests that I'm more concerned about, like Asian citrus psyllid and citrus greening, attack citrus fruit trees, even in your own backyard. It's really important for people to be on the lookout for it, and more importantly, if you find signs of suspicious natural pests and diseases, you can report it and not move it to new areas so it doesn't spread to other places outside.
Well, here in Florida, you know, citrus greening, that has been absolutely a nightmare, both for residents and commercially. And, you know, I talked to our ag commissioner, Wilton Simpson, here in Florida, and he feels like maybe they're turning the corner on, you know, I guess genetically, the way that they're manipulating the orange trees and stuff like that. So this, I didn't realize it's actually some kind of a critter that creates this greening.
That's right. Yeah, citrus psyllid attacks citrus plants and citrus plant relatives, and it's a tiny insect that can inject a disease called citrus greening. And really what it does is affect the fruit of the plant. It makes it lopsided and bitter, hard, and so it's not edible at all and can't even make juice from it.
Now, would you treat these invasive bugs differently than any other kind of, I guess, natural pest that could be, you know, attacking your tree or your fruits or whatever? I mean, in other words, you just take proactive action and spray them with something?
Unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do once citrus greening gets into your citrus plant. That's what our scientists are working hard to help protect the citrus industry. But really what's important for people so that they don't spread it is don't mail your backyard citrus or don't mail homegrown plants, fruits, or vegetables because that can spread the invasive pests unknowingly to new areas.
So if we see something, it looks like, look, this plant's being damaged, this is something I'm not familiar with, what should we do?
Yes, if you notice signs of unusual pest activity in your yard, your garden, your neighborhood, or any time you're getting outdoors, you can report it. A great website we have is hungrypests.com. It has lots of images, pictures of these invasive pests and diseases, so you know what you're looking for and where to look for it. And if you click on the state tracker information in hungrypests.com, click on Florida, and you'll be able to find out more specific information, quarantines in your area, and even a place of where you can report suspicious signs of pests and diseases.
I know you spent a lot of time in California. I guess from a state perspective, what are some of the states that, you know, seem to suffer the worst from invasive plants and these pests?
Yeah, there's hungry pests that go all over the country. It depends on where you are. I know Florida is a little bit warmer, so you have some of these pests that can attack your fruit trees. California is the same. In other states, we're really on the lookout for pests that can attack forest trees. And by moving firewood, for example, that can spread invasive pests that are inside the firewood, and people don't see them because they bore into the wood. And in Florida, this one's a unique one. You might have heard of the giant African snail. This is a very large snail. It doesn't look like anything that we have native, and it feeds on more than 500 types of plants. It's a pretty devastating snail, and it's so far not found anywhere else in the country. So we're really looking for people to be on the lookout for it. Report it to your Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Don't touch it. Don't take a picture. But if you report it, you can help us know where it is and eradicate it quicker.
I'm trying to not sound completely ignorant, but why couldn't you have a market for that and eat it? Escargot.
Yeah, these aren't as tasty, I think, as escargot, and it does carry a disease with it, so that's why we encourage people not to touch it, just to take a picture, or it can carry a disease.
Yeah,
it
kind of ruined my appetite there, sorry. All right, so really a great asset would be access to this website, hungrypests.com, correct?
That's correct. Hungrypests.com, you'll be able to see what all of these different insects and diseases look like, so be a little bit more aware, on the lookout for it. Another one that I would recommend people to look up on hungrypests.com is spotted lanternfly. We want to keep an eye out for it. It has been found in a nearby state, and if it's ever found here, we want people to report it right away so we know how, and we can help to get rid of it.
Spotted lanternfly. All right. We'll be on the lookout for that and these other invasive pests. And, yeah, I guess unless it's brought to our attention, we don't spend a great deal of time thinking about it, but we can all make a difference. And that might make a difference in crop production, and which obviously to Florida, we're a big ag state, so it's all critically important. And, Catherine, we appreciate your time and expertise this morning.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
All right, our pleasure. Catherine Bronski, USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service agriculturist. And yeah, she says this is serious business. These critters are not good, and we need to all try to do our part. And that website, once again, is hungrypests.com.
You know, just kind of based on the whole thing about spreading that we don't think about, and I know I'm going to get some kickback here, but I've got friends that won't use a lawn service because they don't want the seeds of whatever else was in somebody's yard ending up in their yard, and then they're having to deal with that, you know, because they're I see the look on your face, but I've seen your lawn. Anyway, but some
people are you haven't seen it.
Actually, I haven't seen
it. Actually, it looks pretty good right now.
That's good. Yeah. But no, stop and think about it. You carry it on the equipment. It's not like they're cleaning the equipment.
Yeah, but then they fly through the air. I mean, they're so prevalent. You're going to, I mean, yes, it may help. To some extent, but
I mean, she's talking things like again, your vehicle they attach to that. They attach things to firewood. I mean, anytime you move something, it's going to take stuff with it. So I get what she's saying.
Look for the old spotted lantern fly.
Yeah, whatever that looks like.
You know, if they really, if you know, I should have mentioned this to her. You got to put a reward on this stuff. If I get one and put it in, like, you know, one of them little, you know, glass canning jars or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And I tell you exactly, you know, where I found it and all that.
Yeah.
Should be a reward.
But don't touch that snail, that big snail that she talked about. Don't touch it, she said. Just take a picture. And
just watch that escargot, but don't touch it or eat it.
That's right. See what you did there.
Doesn't, yeah. Once she said it carries disease, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's, no.
You know, melted butter doesn't fix disease usually.
No, it tastes better, but doesn't
but
fix
no.
it.
No. All right, let's move on.
Please.
It is 9:15 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The Florida Gators still, everybody is celebrating. What a huge victory. The men's basketball team, national championship. That is huge. We'll talk more about tariffs and some interesting things. Whatever comes down the pike, we'll share it with you on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local. We're 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome, my friends. A 9 o'clock stretch rolls on. 9:20 right now. In fact, your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story, Gators win. Gators win the national championship. What a game. Now, I was fortunate from the perspective of my job and being able to put a couple of sentences together. I can't operate well under sleep deprivation. You know, I need all eight cylinders working all the time. Yes, 100% of my brain matter, or the IQ drops off dramatically. But the, you know, I went to bed. The Gators were, I think they were down by like three. And I mean, I could see their struggles. They had to take shots that they normally wouldn't. You know, they were even outside the normally pretty outstanding three-point range. And so, yeah, I wondered how they were going to react in the second half. And they actually got as far down, I guess, early on with like 12 points. But I didn't know that because I was happily sleeping. And then Betsy woke me up with about a minute left. She goes, yeah, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. I think they can pull it out. I think they're going to win. And what an exciting. The whole game was exciting, but the finish was very exciting. And so the Gators won 65-63. And this is our first national championship since our back-to-back years of 06 and 07 under Billy Donovan. Our new coach, Todd Golden, certainly has earned his stripes now. Yep, he is the Golden coach. And we just outstanding. Outstanding job all year and outstanding from these players. And they are very, you'll hear this term occasionally in athletics. It stands out because it's hard not to be kind of self-centered when you're an athlete, because you need the confidence to be able to take the ball and score. And if you put a bunch of them together, they don't always play well together. But the Gators definitely play extremely well. And you've got more than just really five top-notch players. The talent's much deeper than that, and that makes a difference down the stretch, as we have seen. So I can't say enough. The Gator Nation, some people may be napping today in the Gator Nation. A new Cold War is raging in the Atlantic Ocean with a threat to national security detected after allegedly Russian spy devices were discovered on the seafloor and washed up on the coast, according to a recent report. Several sensing devices have been found after they washed ashore. More have been discovered by the British Royal Navy, part of their mine hunting and underwater surveillance efforts. This was an expose that was put out through the Times of London. The devices and other such undersea espionage efforts are believed to be of Russian origin, are said to be intended to spy on Britain's fleet of nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed deterrent submarines and NATO's underwater critical infrastructure.
Gee, what could go wrong?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Much of Western civilization relies on energy and data transported and transmitted undersea by pipelines and cables. Access to this infrastructure gives would-be hostiles many opportunities for espionage and sabotage. Though data, also through data harvesting, the planning of explosives, or simply accurately mapping locations of key sites for later action. In one instance that was reported, Russian autonomous submarines were discovered around deep sea data cables. No mothership or support vessel was seen nearby, suggesting the vehicles had traveled a great distance to access the location clandestinely. So which is going to make all that tracking of these devices much more difficult if they don't need a mothership nearby. Claims are severe if they imply Russia has successfully gathered useful intelligence on British deterrent force of nuclear submarines. The guaranteed retaliatory strike is facilitated by submarines remaining submerged and undetected for months at a time, making a preemptive strike theoretically impossible. However, the Royal Navy has reportedly insisted that its at-sea deterrent remains undetected. Yeah, that is very, very critical. That is kind of our deterrence, our countermeasures, if you will, that would keep, you know, somebody like Russia from firing missiles, even if you think you're hitting all of our target locations, you know, say that are on land. We have attempted to make it extremely difficult to track our nuclear subs. That's why when they pop up somewhere, it's really a big deal, because they literally pop up out of nowhere. We did that off the coast of Cuba not too long ago. And yeah, that's kind of a newsmaker in the intel world for sure, because you're doing something that's important enough to where you're giving up your location. And that is, I mean, that is the whole benefit of that kind of a program, is the fact that you can go undetected and they don't know where you are, and you can still fire a counter attack and a counter launch. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Let's talk to Pete. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling about the cable war, undersea cable war.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to do well in that compared to the Russians, because we have our great Navy SEALs and everything, but they're going to tell us that they can only get there between 10 and noon or 3 and 4. So that's what happens when you deal with the
cable. Oh, I walked into that one, didn't I?
Head first.
When he said, underwater cable war, I was like,
Yeah, he's going somewhere.
Thought it might have been a cable news war he was headed toward.
You never know.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting that, you know, between Russia and China, they spend a great deal of time looking for any possible weakness in our systems. When I say ours, I mean, you know, all of NATO, our British allies and everybody else.
I mean, they could even just like fly a balloon over our entire country or something.
What president would allow them to do that? To fly a balloon completely, almost like diagonally across the continental U.S., starting like in Alaska, and going across our entire landmass, going over some sensitive areas where we have maybe missile silos and other sensitive equipment, et cetera.
And then shoot it downwind?
What president would allow that to happen, Greg? No American president would allow that to happen.
Well, now you might be right there.
Yeah, Joe Biden.
I think it was a couple of years back when Congressman Kat Kamik said, oh, yeah, the Chinese have a receipt for him. I mean, it's pretty much the truth, I think.
Yeah, she did say something about bought and paid for. She sure did. You're right, on record.
Yep.
Who would let that happen? Oh, yeah, that's right. Joe Biden did let it happen. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh, President Donald Trump did follow through. He hosted the 2024 World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers in the East Room celebration at the White House on Monday. Of course, this is quite a bit removed from the World Series victory over the Yankees in October in just 5 games. Yeah, the Dodgers, tough. But, little celebration going on there. Big celebration going on around here. How about them Gators? Good stuff. Your national champions, NCAA men's basketball, 65-63 over Houston. What a game. What a whole season, really. What a season. 97.3 the sky.
Uzan, give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, short.
He walked, he can't touch it.
He can't, 1 second, and it's over. Florida is back on top of the college basketball world championship madness. It's a great day to be a Gator. Yeah. They win the national title.
Wow. What a way to end the season with a national championship win. And these Gators are fighting Gators, no doubt about it. Congratulations to the team, the coaches, everybody associated with the program. And really, what a bunch of just tough, tenacious fighters that would never give up, even though they played 9 points and more behind in their last 3 games. Can you imagine? Sweet 16, Final Four. I mean, and the championship game. You talk about a team. They can play under pressure. It's almost as though that they play their best under pressure. It's almost like they had to be under extreme pressure. Yeah, which makes it tough for the fans. But the outcome was excellent, excellent. Go Gators. Go Gator Nation. There was a recent court ruling, Supreme Court, that weighed in favor of President Trump and his administration so that they can pick back up at deporting suspected illegal alien gang members under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act. The Supreme Court lifted a block from U.S. District Judge James Boasberg. While the ruling from the Supreme Court is a win for President Trump and his administration, it was described as narrow and focused on the proper venue for the cases rather than on the administration's use of a centuries-old law to justify its decision to deport suspected illegal alien gang members. That, according to the New York Times. The bottom line, though, at least for now, the deportations will pick back up and continue. And it is, what kind of a person would not want these people deported? These are dangerous criminals, gang members. I don't know what part of that some of the folks on the left just clearly don't quite comprehend or understand. Doge, working hard. I've given you a few examples this morning of other things they're uncovering. One official from Doge, Antonio Gracias, thank you very much, says millions of migrants who are welcomed to the United States under former President Joe Biden are now on the nation's Medicaid rolls and voter rolls. What? Oh, with in fact some having voted in last year's election. Wonder how much the mainstream media will pay attention to this. Most recently, Doge chief Elon Musk said the potentially millions of illegal aliens who arrived in the U.S. under Biden have secured Social Security numbers. So let's see. Social Security, Medicaid, voting. Huh. In a recent interview with the All In podcast, Gracias detailed how easy it was for migrants freed into the U.S. to get Social Security numbers on Biden's watch. He said Border Patrol was giving people, at times, notices to appear, NTAs. And what that allows you to do is come in the country, and then you're scheduled a court date like 6 years out. So now you're in the country with some quasi-legal status. You're waiting for your court date, theoretically, right? While you're waiting for your court date, 6 years is the average, by the way. It could be longer. You can fill out an asylum application. So without an interview, just an application, once that application is in, you can file another form to get work authorization. Once you get that, you get a 766, which is the authorization, and then you're automatically sent a Social Security card in the mail.
Unreal.
No interview. Yeah. And this is the majority of the growth that you see in the numbers that they have uncovered. Gracias said there is no identification verification in this process to gain a Social Security number, that about a quarter of the migrants that were reviewed by Doge did not have their fingerprints taken by Border Patrol once they crossed the southern border. From there, Gracias said Doge looked at welfare programs, finding that 1.3 million migrants are now on Medicaid and thousands, at least in a handful of states, are on voter rolls and voted in the 2024 presidential election. We mapped this through the benefit programs. We found every benefit programs is being accessed by these people, 1.3 million on Medicaid right now, today, by the way. It's just ramping up. It's just starting. Wow. Among the migrants on Medicaid rolls, Gracias said, are criminals and some migrants who are matches for the federal government's terrorist watch list. So Medicaid for you,
wow.
Social Security for you, work permit for you. Oh, you're on the terrorist watch list? Here, you get that too. What?
Unstinking real.
isn't it? Gracias was a former Democrat donor, by the way, said he believes it is a part of a larger scheme by the Democrat Party to import a new voting base. I remember, you know, when this first came about as the theory behind why Biden would open the border wide open. Oh, you're going to have a whole bunch of voters. And I thought, well, how long will that take before they could legally vote? You're so naive, Bob. Legally vote. Yeah, you're right. He said, go look at California. Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan came from California. Ronald Reagan signed amnesty, and some 40 years later, it is now a solidly blue state. It is a tip of the iceberg. We have a very small sample of data in a couple of states. I don't know what the unintended consequences will be long term, but I can tell you it's already happened in America, where an amnesty program actually turned a very large state from one party to another. I don't know that I really realized or ever put the two and two together. You know, the Amnesty and Immigration Act of 1986 that Ronald Reagan signed into law. I don't know that I ever saw that with the direct connection of California going blue. I always thought they kind of leaned back and forth and were always sort of on, you know, on the fence, at least.
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah. So, interesting. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Especially if you're paying attention to the Bob Rose Show. And if you cannot pay attention all the time, I understand. That's why we make the Bob Rose Show podcast available to you wherever you normally download your podcast, or you can utilize the Audacy app, AUDACY, Audacy. And all you have to do is find the Bob Rose Show podcast, click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. It's that easy. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Tom, good morning.
I am absolutely amazed at the idiots running the Gainesville Sun. These guys are so stupid. I just went into Publix and bought two Gainesville Suns, one for me, one for my 14-year-old, because of the game last night.
Right.
And we went downtown at 11 o'clock and walked around before my 20-year-old was down there and sent us pictures at 1 o'clock. Everything was just jammed with people. It was absolutely insane. So this is a big deal. And University of Florida is the first school to have three national championships in basketball and in football. So this is a huge deal. So I bought these Gainesville Sun for historical sakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the cover of the Gainesville Sun, they've got state immigration and all these people out there protesting the immigration BS. They've got a little thing up in the top, Final Four, and they have a little thing, Florida versus Houston. So I go, well, at least in their sports section will have it. They do have a huge thing about the national championship in their sports section. UConn, top dogs. They've got the women of UConn. Are these idiots? Do they just want their paper to go out of business? And USA Today, what do they have? They had UConn instead of the Gators. People just can't read the crowd. You know, give the people what they want. Kinks had a very good point. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, it really has to do with production time. They go to production, same with USA Today, and that's it. They print the paper, and so sorry that you're right. They don't take into account some of these really, well, huge events.
Have they forgot the old line for the movies? Hold the presses!
I think they have.
That's what that was for.
Wow. Now they have an app for that. The Hold the Presses app. All right. It is your turn, my friends. Time for things that make you smile. We need some upbeat, positive thoughts. Brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Oh, it's another day in paradise. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it is time for Things That Make You Smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. 877-975-9825. Call in now. Right off the bat, though, what's making me smile? Gators win, and looks like the Dow is up 3.5%. Wow, that's huge. But it still could be a roller coaster. But we'll take the smile, even if it doesn't last long. All right, let's go to Rosebud. What's making you smile?
It's great to be a Florida Gator. Man, the last four games, we were always behind. And I got to give credit to Todd Golden. I call it his run and shoot in the second half. They ran the legs out from under all their opponents. Auburn, they were rubber-legged. Last night, even Houston's player. That player was going to set up for that winning three-pointer. And his legs went out from under him. The ball, he couldn't even go to the ball. And I believe it was Condon fell on the ball and handed it to Clayton Jr. And that was it. It's great to be a Florida Gator. Thank you guys for all covering it this morning. I'm still woozy. I'm sitting here drinking coffee because I stayed up till midnight watching all the highlights and stuff. God bless America, boy. See you.
Yeah, God bless the Gators and you too, Rosebud. Sam, what's making you smile?
I have changed my opinion of nose rings and the people that wear them. I'll tell you the truth, I find it to be a pretty good indicator because after you talk to them for a bit, all I can think of, here's your sign.
Let's go to Katie. What's making you smile?
Bear with me. This is not a political makes me smile. But on Saturday, I was with a Democratic friend of mine, and we went downtown Ocala looking for something to do. And lo and behold, there's all these demonstrators, right? And we're riding along. She's honking her horn. I roll my window down, put my finger down, my thumb down. She said, quit that. They think I'm a Trumpster. I said, I know. It was so funny.
Aw, and that makes me smile. Coming up next, it's The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Metropolitan Police in D.C. arrested a husband and a wife duo allegedly vandalizing Tesla vehicles with political hate speech. Well, the husband's a former government bureaucrat, and the wife is a mover and a shaker in the NGO world. Justin and Emily Fisher charged and accused of defacing four vehicles and possibly more. Now, Justin Fisher worked for nearly 15 years as a statistician with the Government Accountability Office. Perfect. Now you and your skaggy wife will be held accountable. And that's The Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your whole family. Have a great, safe day. Celebrate the Gators. See ya.